Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. One of the most powerful forms of marketing is digital marketing. There are a lot of trends riding on this. There's social media, there's blogging, there's content marketing, so many things that form digital marketing as a whole. And with so much involved with digital marketing, it's easy to get confused. It's easy to get a little mixed up. And not only to just feel overwhelmed, but not to truly harness the power of digital marketing. So we're going to talk about avoiding the overwhelm and being able to use digital marketing to get really good results. And who better to do that than today's guest? He is the Director of Digital Services and partner at Ballantine, a third-generation, family-owned, direct mail and digital marketing company based out of Fairfield, New Jersey. From lead generation to marketing strategy for small businesses, today's guest at his company rise above the get feature quick schemes. He helps business owners grow their book or business in today's online world. Today's guest for episode 201 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Ryan Coty. Ryan, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark. Really excited to be here.
Ryan, it is really great to have you on the show, and digital marketing is just something that there's so much involved in it, and we just got to open it and just see what we can do to take action on it. So just like finding ways to utilize the few things in digital marketing that work best for us to grow our brands. We'll be talking a lot about that during this episode, but I'd like to get some backstory first. So can you share with us what got you started with digital marketing and a little more about Ballantine?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been as far back as, I guess, high school, really, in college, I've always had an interest in digital marketing. I've always had websites, selling things online, affiliate marketing, selling things on eBay. So writing eBooks and selling them. So, going back to my early entrepreneurial days, digital has always been part of my life, teaching myself SEO. So I've had many, many, many websites and different projects that always evolved around digital. And, when I joined my family business in 2003, I was mainly doing marketing for the company, and that involved digital marketing as part of my responsibilities. And then I just, went to my father and my uncle and I said, hey, I think we should, because we were mainly just offering direct mail marketing services at the company. I said, I think we need to start offering digital, and why don't we start offering SEO, search engine optimization, because that's, kind of at that point knew what I knew best. And so, that was about 5 years ago. And now, we have a full blown digital marketing team, our small business clients from, SEO to paid search, social media content and web development. So it's been a pretty crazy ride. I mean, we now have a whole team. It used to be literally just me. Now we have a full team that I get to work with every day, which is great.
And it is really great to have the team behind you for a business or any big goal worth pursuing, because like with the team, you can get a lot of advice, you can delegate. There's just so much to having a great team. And it's definitely essential because there's so many things to do in digital marketing. But regardless of what we do, a lot of the digital marketing centers around getting leads. And I'm wondering if you could share with us some pointers for how we can get more leads through our digital marketing efforts.
Yeah, so I mean, that's really for us, like for the kind of clients that we service, it's all about leads. There's, maybe a little bit of brand awareness and building authority, but it's really about lead generation, the types of service, the type of clients that we serve. So I definitely like talking about this topic. the main thing, or one of the I guess the starting points I should say is, you know, making sure that you have a rock solid website, because that's, you know, all your digital marketing, you're pushing people to your website. And so, you know, and that's generally where the lead conversion happens. So you need to make sure that you're kind of checking off all the boxes, meaning, you know, how fast does your website load? What's the experience on mobile? Those are two things that are very important now, because, you know, a lot of traffic happens on mobile now, but also with, and that affects load speed, or load speed is very important on a mobile device. But also Google, you know, they tend to rank sites higher that have a strong mobile experience. They like to rank sites that are fast because it's good user experience. And then you also need to make sure that your site has, you know, all the proper call to actions. So just to give you some you know, detail pointers there, you know, you want to have your call to actions, you know, your buttons or your email address to click, you know, above the fold, you know, repeating on every page. You know, we like to put them in the footer as well. You can use pop-ups. But you want to make it very, very easy for the person to contact you. And that's going to help your lead conversion rate. You know, one thing that we actually see, so we work with a lot of B2B, you know, business to business. We see that email actually converts, like having your email on your website. So if you go to our website, you'll notice that we have our website, our email address at the top of every page. And that kind of follows you as you scroll. And we get a good amount of leads from that email address. And I think it's because, you know, B2B, they're on their computers. And so it's just easier for them just to shoot off an email as opposed to filling out a form or calling. So that's one way, you know, with digital, is just to really have a strong website that is focused on lead gen. Every site, every page has a purpose in terms of getting that lead conversion. Do you want me to go into more? Do you have follow-up questions on that?
I'd like to go a little deeper into the search engines, because you mentioned that like the speed of your site impacts your ranking on Google. And that's definitely something that also impacts the user experience. Like there's a lot of stuff that I've noticed that if it impacts a search engine, it's usually something that has a positive impact on user experience, like the speed. But can you share with us some of the other ways that we can get more organic traffic from Google?
Yeah, and I'm definitely, just one point on the speed before I talk about SEO is that, you know, we generally see a ranking boost after we correct a client's page speed score. So page speed is, you know, Google's tool, Google Page Speed Insights. So if we get a client that has like, you know, red scores, which is bad, which means poor, and we work on the back end of the site, you know, compressing images, browser caching, et cetera, and we get the scores to green, you know, we generally see a bump in rankings and conversion rates too, because the site is just quicker. But in terms of SEO, yeah, I mean, that's, so page speed is one of them, you know, having a very usable site. Also having very well-written metadata. So metadata is the back-end code, you know, it's, you know, your meta description, your title tag. You want to make sure that those are very well-written. Yes, they contain your keywords, but also they're very well-written, because what's happening now is those are essentially like, you know, when your title tag is usually the headline in the Google search results, and the meta description is usually the summary below that. And so the more enticing you can make the title and description, you know, the better chance you have of getting the click. And Google definitely uses that data. So if they're showing a site in the top 10 of Google and they see that no one is clicking on that listing, it's a pretty definite sign to them that that page might not belong in the top 10. So you want to make sure that your metadata, yes, you know, has the keywords, but you also want to make sure that's very well written and, you know, kind of earns the click, so to say. Also, you know, obviously link building, that's kind of a topic that's been beaten down a lot, but, or, you know, spoken about a lot, but it's still very important. You need backlinks to rank. And so, you know, maybe back in 2011, it was like all you needed. But nowadays, you know, yes, backlinks are still very important. You want to get good backlinks. You want to get relevant backlinks. You know, you want to get, you know, backlinks from all the social media networks and just make your profile very strong, your link profile very strong. But nowadays with SEO, link building is just, you know, one part of the equation. The other part is just technical, you know, how strong is your site technically? You know, does your site have duplicate content? Are there a lot of broken links? You know, Google likes to rank a site that's very clean and healthy. So if you have your site strong technically, like no broken or duplicate issues, if you've got links, And the last part is if your on-page is strong, like your on-page optimization, that goes back to the metadata, but it goes well beyond just the metadata. So do I have the keywords in my headlines and in my content, in my image tags, you know, am I targeting the right keywords? That's the third piece of the third piece of the puzzle. So it's, you know, technical, link building, and then on-page optimization. You get those three things right, and that's generally, you know, how you get more organic traffic.
And there are a lot of those, like link building is one of them that you hear a lot over and over again. The metadata and stuff that goes a little deeper, that's the stuff that fewer people want to do, but it's something where if you do it, you're going to rank better on Google. And obviously, if you can't do that on your own, you could just ask Ryan to help you out. He has the services that help out with digital marketing. But some people, they believe that paid traffic is the answer, where if you're able to get $2 for every dollar you spend, you just keep running that formula forever. So what are some of the best strategies for getting the paid traffic to your site?
Yeah, you know, so I think paid advertising, like Google pay-per-click, or even, you know, Bing and Yahoo, I think it's actually very important. So, you know, SEO is great because you're not paying for the clicks per se. I mean, you sort of are, whether you're paying for your time or you're paying an agency to do it, but you're not paying for every click. But you're also at the mercy of Google's many, many algorithm updates and, you know, the changes that they make. And it just takes time. You know, it takes a lot of time to see good results with SEO. But Google AdWords, you know, their Google's pay-per-click platform, you know, yes, you're paying for every click, but you can be a lot more targeted. You know, the results are much quicker. You have a lot more control. It's very yin and yang to SEO. I think that, you know, they work so perfectly. They work well together because, you know, with Google, you can Google pay-per-click, you can get the keyword data back as to what keywords are doing really well, and then you can carry that data over into SEO and say, okay, these are our top 10 keywords on pay-per-click, or how do we craft together a content or an SEO plan around them? You can also look at the top performing ads on Google AdWords and say, okay, well, this ad is getting a very high click-through rate. What lessons can we take from the headline and the description of this ad to then apply to the metadata of our SEO? You know, so there's way you can get learnings from paid advertising to carry over to SEO and content. In terms of some tips, you know, the biggest mistake we see with pay-per-click is with clients that try to do it themselves, it's like set it and forget it. I mean, you could talk about match types and they're not using the right match types, but let's say they have the right match types. It's for them, it's set it and forget it. So they created their campaigns with their keywords and their ads, and they don't touch it after that. But the thing is, AdWords, to do it right, you have to be in there every week, looking at what keywords are actually generating traffic to your site, building out your negative keyword list, and just try to get that traffic, you know, the keyword list, as targeted as possible, because you very rarely have it nailed down in the first attempt. It often takes a lot of time, depending on your line of business, to get that keyword list really zeroed in on exactly who you want to target. So, you know, set it and forget it is the biggest issue I see with pay-per-click campaigns that we take over.
And I find it really interesting how you use the pay-per-click to see which keywords are working, then you use that with the SEO strategy. I really like that approach. And I also want to ask about Facebook advertising, because that's receiving a lot of attention like right now, and also like for several years it's been receiving attention. So what are your thoughts on using Facebook ads as well? Or do you believe more in Google's ads because you can get the keywords?
Well, so here's the thing, Mark. So we like to our typical client is using us for all these services, and we try to make them all work together. And here's how that happens. You know, Facebook advertising, I know it's been going through a lot of changes. You know, we still do a lot of it, and it really, all the changes haven't impacted us all too much. I mean, a lot of that third-party data is going away, but, you know, we use Facebook a lot for like retargeting and boosting to fans and friends of fans and creating, you know, email match audiences and look-alike audiences. So for us, we haven't had too much of an impact. But what we like about Facebook is that, you know, we can get our ads in front of the right audience that might not know about us or our client. So with Google, pay-per-click or SEO, you know, those people are further down the cycle. They have a need. They're going into Google. They're typing in what they're searching for. So those people are a little further down the line in terms of converting into a lead. With Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram, you know, whatever your business is, B2B or B2C, we don't know what their needs are. They might not, you know, they might not, unless you're retargeting to your past website visitors, but let's say you're going after sort of a colder audience. We don't know what their needs are, but we're getting the ads in front of the right people. So they're earlier in the cycle, but they might not know about us or our clients. So we like to use both because they're targeting people at different stages of the buying cycle, of the lead cycle. That's why I think it's really important to use all that together.
And I really like not just using them just for the sake of using them, but using them all for like different purposes and being able to tap on different cycles of the buyer journey. So like having a coordinated approach with all of the parts within digital marketing. And there's just so much to do within digital marketing, as I've mentioned before. And there are some people who just feel overwhelmed by it and like they're still putting in the work, but they feel like they're not necessarily getting the results they want to achieve. So what do you believe holds most people back from crafting and implementing winning digital strategies?
I mean, I think you're right. There is so much with digital marketing. It can be very overwhelming. You know, yes, I'm lucky that I have a team here and they're experts in their particular craft and you know, but if you're you know, a solopreneur or you're handling all the marketing by yourself, it can be very overwhelming because yes, there's just so much change in digital. There's so much new stuff coming in. And so what I would say is that, you know, really try not to spread yourself too thin. You know, try to focus on, you know, one strategy at a time until you feel like you've gained some traction with it. That focus is very, very important because if you try to master SEO, paid search, Facebook advertising, whatever, all these different content and blogging, which we haven't even spoken about yet, it's going to be very, very, very overwhelming. And I would almost say almost impossible to do it all yourself all at once, you know, trying to master it all. So, you know, I would say try to just, you know, take it bite by bite and not get yourself too overwhelmed and focus on one strategy. And that's, what strategy is that? Well, it just depends on your budget, depends on what you're comfortable with, depends on what you know best, depends on your business. So that is going to be dependent on many factors. But having that focus is very, very crucial with digital marketing.
And that focus is obviously important for anything you do. But with digital marketing, there's just so much to do. I mean, like with content marketing, blogging and advertising and optimizing things, there's just so much to do, and that level of focus you have is going to be really key, as Ryan pointed out. And throughout digital marketing, there's going to be several challenges. Part of that being able to rein everything in together and get the exposure for all these different things that you're creating and promoting. But Ryan, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and the powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah, so that I, you know, in terms of a challenge, it's actually fairly recent. Last year, you know, so 2017, my main responsibility at the company is at least right now it's sales and strategy. And you know, last year was a tough year for us. You know, we didn't really know exactly who we were servicing, and we went through a shedding of clients and big clients too. We lost a lot of our bigger clients. And so there was a moment around the summer to early fall, like a, oh no, kind of moment, like what's happening here and what do we do to fix it? And clearly we knew something was wrong. You know, you don't lose your top accounts, generally speaking, you know, that there being something wrong. So what we did was we took a look and we said, okay, well, who are these clients that we're losing, and you know, what do we do? What are we doing wrong, and who do we service best? And that was really the bottom line, was that we weren't clear on who we were servicing best. And you know, for us, that answer is, you know, manufacturers, contractors, and professional service organizations. Still fairly broad, but much more focused. And last year, it was like anyone, you know, because it just I don't know why we just didn't have that conversation. You know, we were getting accounts and we never really put a focus on it. But when all this stuff started happening last year, it forced us to take a look. And so we identified those three verticals as who we really want to work with, you know, who's who do we service best, and who do we really want to work with, you know? And we made that change October 2017, you know, and man, from, you know, about, I don't know, December, I think it was, that's when things really started to, after a couple months of really the focus, things have really turned around, and this year has just been phenomenal. And so how do I tie that into your audience? It's having a clear idea and vision of who you service best. And if you're not an agency, that isn't very helpful. So I also can, you also can look at it as, okay, well, if you're marketing your business, you know, what products and services, you know, are your best products and services? What products and services do you want to push the most? Which ones have the highest margin? Which ones are you best at? You know, so using a client as an example, we have an insurance client, and they've got all these product lines. And we started out by marketing all their product lines, but we noticed that two or three of them did particularly well in terms of lead generation. So we put all the budget into those two or three verticals, and it, and, you know, things have been working great for them. So that's my answer. That's what I would say. That's my challenge and what I learned from it.
And it's really great to think about who your ideal client is, because if you accept everyone, as Ryan did at the beginning, like, you may not get the, in Ryan's case, like, a lot of top clients leaving all of a sudden, but you may not know how to market yourself as well if you're catering to everyone, and you don't necessarily know who your true customer is, who you're actually trying to market to. So it's really good exercise for anyone to just get an idea of who your client is, and you'll learn a lot more about your business and what you have to do to promote it. And speaking of learning, one of the things that we have to continue to do over and over again is to acquire as much knowledge as possible. This is a theme that I continue to emphasize throughout each episode of Breakthrough Success. And with that in mind, Ryan, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yep, absolutely. So the three books I would recommend, the first one is probably one that everyone's either heard of or, you know, definitely heard of, maybe not read, but definitely heard of, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It's a very easy read, and it just contains so many nuggets of wisdom in the book. Definitely recommend reading that. And not even for, it sort of is a sales book, but it's also just a getting along with people book. And that's like almost, that's everyone, you know, no matter what you do, you're working with people. So it's, I think that was a very, very great book. The other one is, it kind of resonates with what I was saying before about focus, but The One Thing by Gary Keller. And that's really a book about focus, you know, how to have your one thing that you're going to focus on, work on. And I thought the book was very well written too, and definitely recommend that. So that's The One Thing. And then the third book, Mark, is The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. I thought that book was great. And it just talks about, and the book is, it's business and personal. So it's like, it's basically saying that, you know, when you're trying to achieve something, whether it's, you know, business or, you know, personal, like, you know, trying to get a certain number of clients or a certain number of leads or losing a certain amount of weight, it's about all the little things that add up to big results. So in the grand scheme of things, when you're going day by day, you might not notice that you're making a lot of progress. But if you look at, in the past month, all these little actions that you're taking, they compound to nice results. And sometimes it's hard to really realize that when you're in the weeds. But when you take a look back a month or a quarter or whatever, you can see the results. So those are my three books.
Ryan, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. Those will be in the show notes, markbirdie.com/E201. And for anyone interested in getting a book that can help you create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue, you can head over to markgaberti.com/book to grab your copy of Content Marketing Secrets. And before we wrap up this episode, Ryan, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
So I'm really big into self-improvement and just personal growth. And so I like to ask myself, like, am I improving? Am I getting better? And that does, it can be business and that can be personal too, but overall, like today, am I a little bit better than I was yesterday? Or am I just, am I heading in the right direction in terms of my goals? Am I getting better? Am I growing? That's what I like to ask myself. And I think we can all benefit from asking ourselves it as well.
Ryan, thank you for taking the time to share with us that question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Ryan, you can head over to ballantine.com, which will be in the show notes. And he also has some exclusive goodies for us. So if you go to ballantine.com/breakthrough, there are a few things there. You can view case studies. You can connect with Ryan on LinkedIn. But you can also get your own customized digital strategy via video. Ryan will just go through your site and just share with you some suggestions on how you can get better results through that customized digital strategy, which he will share with you via video. Again, the link to get all those is ballantine.com/breakthrough. Ryan, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks a lot, Mark, and thanks for everyone for listening. Appreciate it.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn